Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Second to None podcast. I am Blaine Gilmer here with my host, co-host Tavares King. And Tavares, man, it is right at the end. We're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel of this SEC schedule, and we had a packed week in week 11, and we're here to give our reaction to everything that went down, including Georgia coming out on top at Rocky Top and doing so in convincing fashion. We'll talk about Ole Miss and the Lane train rolling as you predicted it would over there. We split on that one, and a lot of interesting matchups and games that occurred there in week 11, TK. But I thought overall it was a solid week of football to watch.
Super solid week of football, man. Learned a lot about some teams again, man. I really like Sam Pittman and that Arkansas squad. They play with a lot of grit. Ole Miss and the Lane train, like I said, choo-choo was going to roll. And, of course, my dogs, 8-0 in conference play, something that hadn't been done before in school history. That's, I think, so I think that's pretty amazing. Just a great week, man. Great week of SEC football, man. Ready to chop it up. Talk about a little bit more. I know something that some people ain't happy about, and that's that daggone Florida squad. I don't know what they got going on over there, but boy,
you let Florida defense. Your guy Christian Robinson didn't pick a good week to be the defensive coordinator for the first week, but we'll have to. I don't think that you can put that on him too much. But one thing I think you can bet on right now is that when Florida takes the field, you don't know what you're going to get. And speaking of betting, guys, we always have to thank our sponsor of the show, and that is Bet Online, guys, because Bet Online is back and better than ever with a new web interface to the start of basketball season here. Of course, the conclusion of football season, NHL is going, all of those good things. So Bet Online, it remains the number one spot for your basketball and football action this season. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code BELIEVE50, that's BLEAV50, to receive your bonus. Like I said, all kinds of sports going on out there, including even boxing, UFC. There's a fight coming up between Darren Williams, the former NBA player, and Frank Gore. All kinds of stuff that you can bet on. So head on over to Bet Online. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet Online, it's where the game starts. But TK, we are going to pick up right where you had just left off with that Florida defense. I almost had to do a double take at my phone. I was in Knoxville there to take pictures at the Georgia-Florida game, and I looked down at my phone, and it's 7 minutes to go in the second quarter, and Florida had already given up 35 points to Samford.
I think it was like 42 points they gave up at halftime. Yeah,
42 points at halftime. I know they fired Todd Grantham, you know, the week before. Their defensive coordinator. How much do you think it was just maybe getting used to a new, you know, play caller and Christian Robinson calling the defensive plays? And how much do you think it was just this team has quit on Dan Mullen?
Man, a lot of it did look like a lot of quit. But you know, it is an adjustment. It is tough to be thrown into the fire of calling plays. I will say that. That's tough, but C-Rob, they got it done at the end of the day. They did get it done, though they did get points scored on them, but they got it done, man. So hopefully they can get those things corrected next week. But, man, you got to think, like you said, it's coming. Dan Mullen, his days seem to be numbered, man. They face a Mizzou team next week who just beat South Carolina, who stumped a mud hole in them. So, I mean –
he's stomping a mud hole in him and walking. Yeah,
So I mean, their work's cut out for him right now. But you gotta thank Dan Mullen's, man, I don't know. His days are slim.
I don't know how Florida can justify keeping him around if the effort for two straight seasons has waned once Florida has not had an opportunity to play for their goals, right? Last year after the SEC championship game, they obviously just didn't show up against an Oklahoma team and got killed. And now after the SEC East was out of their grasp this year, they just, I mean, they just flat have not come out and played with the energy that you would expect out of a Florida program.
Right. And two, from a, like a, even, I mean, you work on this all day, every day, recruiting, from a recruiting standpoint. I think we just stole two guys from them within the past week. So, I mean, yeah, something's got to give over there.
Well, and, you know, to be fair to Dan Mullen, it's not recruiting season right now. You know what he said? It's not recruiting season. He said he'll talk about recruiting after the season's over. No, but, I mean, that was taken out of context by Mullen a little bit, but not a good look when you're struggling the way they are. But, yes, Shamar James and Julian Humphrey both decommitted from Florida. They were their top two commits in the class of 2022. Shamar James, a linebacker from Mobile, Alabama. Julian Humphrey, a corner that runs a 4.3/4.40 out of Houston, Texas. He flips to Georgia this past week. Shamar James is trying to decide between Georgia and Alabama. And then also a class of 2023 wide receiver, Raymond Cottrell, he flipped without even doing a decommit. He just did it all in one swoop there to Georgia. Nobody even knew it except UGA Sports knew it over there. So if you want to get all the scoop on recruiting, you can follow UGASports.com where I'm a contributor at. But, guys, make sure you're following some of the tea leaves here, because with the recruiting going south, with guys probably going to be entering the portal before too long, Florida players going on social media and, you know, not exactly following the company line, so to speak, on their posts and things. It's interesting times for the Florida Gators. So we will see. But I thought that was worth touching on, 70-52. Now, hey, you got to give it to them. They racked up 70 points in a game, but it's against Samford, an FCS team that.
And they had to.
Yeah, they had to. They had to score 70 points. That is
the what they did.
So. Yeah, they did. And Emory Jones breaks Tim Tebow's record for most yardage in a game. So you know, some positives to take out of it for him. But man, when you give up 52 points to a Samford team, you have to really look yourself in the mirror if you're Florida. So TK wanted to touch on that first, but now let's get to the real football that kind of matters a little bit right here. Georgia defeated Tennessee 41-17. I've been saying for weeks, Tavares, that Tennessee was going to be the biggest test for Georgia in terms of to that defense, and a lot of people had posed the question, well, what's this Georgia defense going to do when they face an offense that, you know, has a pulse, that is able to actually move the ball up and down the field? I think they answered that quite clearly, TK.
Yeah, they definitely did. Playing against a team that plays up-tempo, plays as fast as, you know, Josh Heupel in that offense does, it's challenging. You know, we were on the field defense for 88 snaps, I think, and that's a lot of snaps, my dude. I think the prior week, Kentucky was on the field with those guys for 98 snaps. So they're playing a lot of plays on offense. So, with that being said, you're going to have to do things and rotate and adjust. And, you know, for a second there, it looked like Tennessee had some momentum and they had some things going for them, but it takes a second to adjust to that, to get that pace and that tempo down. And it took us about a quarter to settle in, but once we did, we were eating Hendon Hooker up,
six sacks on the day.
Yeah. Just as we has, as we have other folks.
Yeah, and I will say, when I was on the – it's one thing to see it on television, right, and you see it and things like that, but they're live seeing how fast the Tennessee offense gets lined up and snaps the ball and how decisive they are. You don't have a full appreciation for it until you're on the field seeing it right there. And I thought Georgia made good adjustments, especially when Kirby Smart said, okay – You know, Latavius Brini is not getting it done right here. We're going to move Chris Smith down to star, bring in Dan Jackson, put him at safety. So small adjustments like that, and also Kirby Smart saying, okay, Warren Erickson, I don't know if Warren was one of those that had the was part of the flu, that Georgia had about eight guys with the flu. I don't know if he just wasn't feeling good or whatever, but he wasn't getting it done at right guard. They bring in Xavier Truss. Put him in, and that's a big man, Xavier Truss, and he starts moving people around right there. So the Georgia coaching staff made adjustments, and that's something that I think everybody's wanted to see just as much as anything else, because Tavares, when Georgia has faced Alabama right in the national championship and SEC championship in 2017 and in 2018, it was the adjustments by Nick Saban in the second half that ended up defeating Georgia, right? They were able to adjust better than Georgia was. I think Kirby Smart and his staff showed ability to make some subtle adjustments and kind of come out on top in a game that they obviously needed to do. Now they've basically virtually secured themselves a playoff spot.
Yeah, definitely have. And you talk about adjustments, and you can only make adjustments when you have bodies to do so. And we've got so many bodies that we can put in positions to make plays and be interchangeable. So that's awesome. And one thing that I do want to talk, two things that I want to talk about. I want to talk about the three tight end set that Coach Monken had us in several times. Dude, when you got Fitz, Brock Bowers, and Big O out there blocking, and as well as those guys can run routes, it's special. So I'm looking forward to seeing what we do out of that. And then the second thing is this. I was super excited to see James Cook emerge, bro. I was super excited to see him make plays, make explosive plays, and do it continuously over and over again. So that was good to see. Hopefully he gets rolling down the stretch here.
No doubt. And before we move on from this game, I do want to say Tennessee has pros on that offense, man. When you talk about 100%. Cedric Tillman and Bayless Jones Jr., those guys are going to be pro wide receivers. I mean, you've played NFL wide receiver. Those guys have NFL bodies, NFL skill sets. They make plays. Hendon Hooker is going to get a chance to play in the league with his athletic ability. So yeah. I thought that was interesting to see. You know, Georgia handled a team that has some weapons like that.
Yeah, yeah. And let's be clear. I've said it previously on the show. Tennessee needs to be happy with where they are, what they're doing right now. The offense looks great. They have a quarterback that I love. I think that the coaches love, the teammates love him. And that's what you want. You want a guy that you can go to battle with week in and week out, as well as Coach Heupel, bro. You got to love him. Dude's got the whole fan base, got the whole place rocking. So I like what they got going on. And they should too.
Yeah, that was the other thing. Neyland Stadium early on, it was rocking, man. I mean, and I was in there. The energy was great. It was a great atmosphere. So I think Tennessee fans should be very happy, like you said, where they are. Josh Heupel's got the program going in the right direction. He's going to be able to recruit well because guys are going to want to play his style of football. It's an exciting style of football. But the myths that Georgia debunked, though, was can they play the same offense against or play same defense against a high-powered offense? That answer is yes. They were able to stifle a high-powered offense. Can Stetson Bennett throw the ball more than 21 times and complete more than 14? Well, he was 17 of 29 for 213 yards and a touchdown. Several third down completions we needed. He replaced the blitz. He made plays with his feet. I think you can pretty much put it to bed that Stetson Bennett's going to be the guy rolling forward for Georgia.
Yeah, 100%. I think he probably played his most complete game this season, just putting it all together, re-IDing mics and things like that in the run game, and as well as doing what I think he does best, escaping the pocket and making plays downfield, extending plays. He did that several times on Saturday, and I think, like you said, he's the guy, bro. There's no doubt about it.
And also, quick notes, and we're done with this game. Dominic Blaylock, he didn't play in the game, but he warmed up in full dress. He was fully dressed out before the game. That's an encouraging sign for him. George Pickens working with the scout team, maybe a couple weeks away if George comes
Jorge
back.
Jorge Pickens.
That could be a big thing for Georgia going down. So Georgia wins 41-17. TK, now moving on to a game that absolutely boggled my mind. I saw Auburn up 28-3, and I was like, man, you know, I just started thinking ahead to the Iron Bowl. I was like, man, Auburn and Alabama is going to be just an absolute crazy game. And it just turned out to just flip on its head because Will Rogers and that Mississippi State offense started clicking all of a sudden. And Mike Leach, they're slinging that thing. They ran off 40 straight points, TK. Back from a 25-point deficit and beat Auburn on the road 43-34. Thoughts on this game?
Yeah, man, it was crazy. Auburn had it going early on. Bo Nix had it going early on. Coach Bobo was dialing it up, had guys running over the middle of the field, hitting them wide open. Tang Jarquez was obviously doing their thing. And then, obviously, special teams comes into play. You get a punt block, momentum, boom. That's what happens. They score before the half, and that's all they needed. You said it. They rattled off 40 points just like that, bro. And it's crazy. And that's what you can do in a Mike Leach air raid offense. And we talked about that before and how special that is. But, dude, I personally think that Auburn still can do some damage in that Iron Bowl coming up.
Yeah, and now the only deal with – the one reason I was so confident that I thought Auburn would be able to hang with Alabama was Bo Nix, right? Well, now it appears that Bo Nix at the end of that game has broken his ankle and is going to be out. So now it's TJ Finley's time to shine there. He transferred from LSU there for a reason. Obviously, he saved Auburn earlier in the year against Georgia State on a fourth down crazy play. But, and he'll get a week here before – he has to face Alabama at the end of the year in the Iron Bowl, but we'll see, TK. Now that Iron Bowl looks a little bit different with Bo Nix out there, but also Owen Papo was out for the game defensively. And I think what happened, TK, was, you know, Auburn was playing well, and then all of a sudden the defense gets worn down. And Will Rogers in that air raid style, once they get you running side to side and you're huffing and puffing and then they're able to complete some plays and they got some short fields to do it with, man, TK, that's some tough stuff right there.
You gotta wonder if Auburn was making too many explosive plays, if they should have slowed that thing down a little bit. My man Kobe Hudson was out there snagging on them. Making plays. He just might get that up top pork chop award this week.
No doubt. But I mean, you look at this game, Auburn was 50% on third down. They were 50% on fourth down. That's pretty good numbers. In fact, they held Mississippi State to 3 of 10 on third down, but Mississippi State converted both fourth down attempts. They did 2 of 2. It's just interesting to see. Now, Auburn did have 9 penalties for 86 yards, TK. So that hurts you a little bit being penalized. They also lost the turnover battle and they lost the time of possession. So you can see if you look in here where Mississippi State made this game turn. And I think Will Rogers in the second half was 24-25 with 5 touchdown passes in the second half alone. So, TK, you know, Will Rogers continues to ball for Mississippi State, and the defense stepped up when they needed to in the second half. I think second half, they gave up 6 points. They gave up a couple of field goals, I think, at the end. So, you know, when it comes down to that, Mississippi State really and a remarkable performance. And I think they're the only one, TK, in the entirety of college football that has like 4 or 5 wins over ranked teams in the college football rankings. And they're not even ranked themselves anymore.
Yeah, that's wild. That's pretty that's an impressive stat right there. And, you know, we've been talking about that Zach Arnett defense. And, again, they looked a little bumpy early. But bro, I think that him and that defense are special, and they're a big reason to why they've rattled off those wins.
No doubt. Next game, we'll stay with, talking about the state of Mississippi and just go from – Mississippi State being on a road game over to a home game at Oxford. And TK, you predicted it. I thought that Texas A&M would stay hot and Zach Calzada and that team would be able to, I thought the defense would wrangle Ole Miss a little bit more than they did, but Jerrion Ealy and Matt Corral had it rolling there in Oxford, and Ole Miss beats Texas A&M 29-19. Thoughts on this one, TK?
Yeah, it was a really impressive game by Matt Corral. Minus the two fumbles, that he did have. But other than that, dude, it was a really impressive game by him. I thought another thing that was eye-opening for me was that Ole Miss was able to run the ball.
257 yards.
Extremely well. And then another eye-opening thing was it's kind of like the defense is flip-flopped. Texas A&M's defense was kind of just lost at times. And, you know, Ole Miss's defense was giving them all they wanted. You know, a lot of times in Zach Calzada's face, forcing them to throw some picks, breaking on some routes, jumping some routes. I think there was a pick six in the game as well. So just a overall great effort by the Ole Miss defense. And I think that was probably my most impressive feat by them.
Yeah, well, when you talk about it, you know, Texas A&M and Ole Miss both were able to move the football pretty well at times, but both would get into the red zone and stall out, right? I mean, that was some of the issues there late. And then, you know, it's 15-0, and here comes Texas A&M out of the half. TK on that first drive down, they get a targeting call that advances it even forward. Right then is where they had the chance to capture momentum to score a touchdown there. They get held to a field goal. They did score on the next possession, but if they'd scored on that first drive to make it 7, and then you get that next touchdown, then it starts to the cheese gets a little more binding, if you will, for Ole Miss over there. But you know, we'll see if Texas A&M can rebound from this. I thought that they were starting to make a lot of strides there. It's a confusing team, right?
You know, the only thing that was killing Ole Miss was A-Chain. A-Chain was out there eating. He was balling. They probably should have handed it to him a little more, man.
Yeah, Devon A-Chain, 12 carries, 110 yards, 9.2 yards an attempt with 2 touchdowns. Also, Anaya Smith and Jalen Widermeyer had some good nights. I thought that they could have went to Jalen Widermeyer more. You know, it seems like he needs to get a few more targets. I mean, with a guy that big bodied and the way that Ole Miss plays, you know, they've got that 3-2-6, and sometimes with run action and things like that, especially if they used Anaya Smith or used A-Chain maybe going across, it could have manipulated those linebackers and opened up the middle of the field a little bit. But you know, Zach Calzada, I mean, he plays with toughness. You can still tell he's hurt that left knee, but overall, just not good enough execution. And I thought they made a good point on the broadcast when I was rewatching this game that this was only Texas A&M's second true road game, right? They'd been like on the road to Missouri, but the game against Alabama was at home. They played Arkansas on a neutral field. So I think you have to give a lot of credit to the Oxford atmosphere there. Vault Hemingway Stadium was rocking, the Lane train, all those emotions, things like that. And Lane's just, he's just going to keep going for it on fourth down until he gets it. You know what I'm saying?
He ain't scared.
He is not at all. I mean, what other coach in America would volunteer to be the guest picker when game day is at their stadium? I mean, nobody does that. I mean, Lane Kiffin he's a different bird now, and it's working out for him. And mathematically, TK, Ole Miss is still alive in the SEC West. They would need Alabama to lose to Arkansas and to Auburn. But if that were to happen and Ole Miss were to, you know, win out, then they would be in the SEC championship game. So, you know, at least like on Dumb and Dumber. So you're saying there's a chance, you know.
there is a slim one, but a chance.
Yeah, slim chance. Now, if that chance is going to stay alive for Ole Miss, they need the next game we're going to talk about, Arkansas. They need the Arkansas Razorbacks to take care of business next week against Alabama. They did take care of business against the LSU team. And quite frankly, TK, the margin that they won against LSU was only 3 points less than that of what Alabama did at home, and Arkansas does it on the road. So, like we've said before, this is the 7th win for Sam Pittman in year 2 on a total rebuild job. Nobody believed in him when they hired him, and he not only has won 7 games, he's beaten the old Southwest Conference right there with Texas A&M and LSU all in the same year, TK. I mean, that is a huge accomplishment for the Razorbacks.
Yeah, extremely impressive what Coach Pittman is doing in Arkansas, bro. He's got the fan base going. He's got the team going. His kids believe in him. And I think I've mentioned it before. this team is a team that's kind of taking on the character of their coach, bro. They did it in this game. They turned this game into just a knockout, drag out fight.
And, this was an ugly game. Ugly game.
It was ugly. But we said it before. Sam Pittman is okay with being in some ugly games. And you know, they did come out on top, but I think they came out on top because they played really good defense, bumper pool, as well as – what's my man's name? 27. He's called
Jalen Catalon.
Yeah, Catalon. My man, like him a lot.
They had three turnovers. They forced three turnovers in that game. Of course, TK, this was Garrett Nussmeier's first performance at quarterback for LSU. They started off with Max Johnson, then they pulled him and went with Garrett Nussmeier, and I thought they were going to kind of do the deal that they traded him in and out, but Nussmeier goes the rest of the way, and he made some plays that were spectacular plays, like the 3rd and 20 on the last drive before the 3rd and 20 before the interception there. You know, he threads the needle, puts it in there, but then an ill-advised throw on the interception. That's where you see, you know, a guy who's really talented but also really young all at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough decision there. Pulling Max. I mean, I was watching the game again today, and just watching him early on, you know, just sit in the pocket. I think we talked about it. I was like, dude, he's got to move out of there, and that hurt him. That hurt them early on in that game. So maybe that
hurt him against Alabama the week before.
Yeah. So maybe that kind of played into what was going on. But yeah, man, just Nussmeier played all right. I think he's young. And he's got some ability, but yeah, that youngness showed for sure.
Yeah, he finished the game 18-31, 179, a touchdown and two picks. You definitely got to value the ball a little bit more than that. But, you know, Trey Palmer for LSU, man, my buddy returning punts back there, he was exciting. I mean, he almost took a couple to the house back there, it seemed like. So Trey Palmer, an exciting player there in the future for you know, LSU. But you got to give it to Arkansas being able to manufacture enough plays when they needed to, TK. And I think KJ Jefferson is tough as nails. And, you know,
big fella.
Yeah, I mean, he's big. And when you got KJ Jefferson, Dominic Johnson, Traylon Smith, and then, of course, out wide, you've got Treylon Burks out there. They're going to give, I think, one thing you can definitely expect is, even though they're going to Tuscaloosa next week, and that's going to be our main game we preview this upcoming week, I think you know exactly what you're going to get out of this Sam Pittman team, and they're going to give it their all against a Alabama secondary who now all of a sudden has some injuries in it. There's been confusion all year back in the secondary, so I think it'll be a interesting matchup coming up with the Razorbacks going to Tuscaloosa.
No, it'll definitely be a good one. I think this game will be another knockout, drag out. We'll see who can run the ball. Alabama obviously struggled to run the ball as of late, so we'll see, man. It'll be a fun one. It'll definitely be a fun game to watch, and I'm glad it's the game of the week.
No doubt. So those were the main game.
Wait, we ain't gonna talk about the Cam Little hitting the gritty.
Yeah, man, the kicker goes out there and hits the gritty after it, man. I mean, when you know, for some of the people out there not watching or that don't know, he's a little dance out there that the kicker hits. And man, when you talk about some kickers with some confidence, obviously you got Arkansas's kicker Little there hitting the game winner and hitting the gritty. But how about buddy? I know this is an SEC show, but Texas Tech. Hits a 62-yarder to beat Iowa State, and that man just straight lost his mind. He's just running around. I would, too. I mean, yeah, and it was good from 68. I mean, he nailed that thing.
Yeah, it was sick. He went berserk, went running down their sideline. He was having the time of his life. Yeah, he probably would have definitely got a hefty fine in the NFL.
And this comes the same week, I think, that you had in the MAC game, I think on Tuesday, it was like Northern Illinois or something like that. Dude hits a kick and he runs into the other team's bench and it starts talking to the crowd inside their bench. I mean, some of these kickers have no self-awareness, TK. They have no idea what's going on.
Zero, man. They just locked in. They just doing their thing, bro. doing their thing, man.
You know, the sphincter factor as a kicker when you're about to kick one of those things, probably like this. So they once they nail it, they're deciding, okay, and now it's time to let loose and have a little fun. You know, this comes also a week after Mike Leach, you know, when they missed so many field goals against Arkansas the week before. Mike Leach in his post-game press conference says, we're taking open tryouts on our campus. If you're NCAA eligible, you can come by the facility and try out the kick this week. I mean, how do you think that makes the kicker on the team feel?
Hey, what's crazy? He probably wasn't even playing.
No, he wasn't playing. If he would have let somebody come up and kick, I mean, there was all kinds of good stuff going on. But an impressive slate of games in the SEC. You're always going to get good competition. And like I said, this upcoming, make sure you subscribe here on the 365 Sports YouTube channel. We're on the Believe Podcast Network. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Just search Second to None. We want to thank, we are presented by Bet Online, as we said earlier in the show. And just looking ahead real quick, TK, like I said, number 25, they'll go up. Arkansas will probably be in the closer to 20-ish, I guess, in the rankings, facing number 2, Alabama, next week in Tuscaloosa. A big one in terms of that continued SEC West race. You know, Alabama can clinch the West next week with a win there. So that's big for the Crimson Tide. And then you have Dan Mullen traveling to Missouri, both teams 5-5 at this point. I don't think anybody would have expected that. And TK, quite honestly, that could be, if they go to Columbia, Missouri, and they lay an egg, that might be
the last one, bro.
That could be it for Dan Mullen right there. So, and then another interesting matchup that we'll preview as well is Auburn now going on the road to Columbia, South Carolina, to face Shane Beamer's squad with TJ Finley as their quarterback, as Bo Nix has broken his ankle and is out for the remainder of the regular season, at least. So I would imagine bowl game probably as well. His time at Auburn's probably done. So, based on reports we're hearing, and then it's a bunch of cupcakes for everybody else. Georgia's got Charleston Southern. Kentucky gets New Mexico State, Mississippi State gets Tennessee State, Texas A&M, Prairie View. So there's a lot of cupcake action. Ole Miss gets Vanderbilt. There's a cupcake right there, you know, because Vanderbilt's not even part of the SEC. You know, we've already kicked them out early at the beginning of the year. And then Tennessee faces South Alabama, LSU, UL Monroe. So a lot of kind of let-up games for a lot of teams, but the three that we will be previewing later this week, Arkansas at Alabama, Florida at Missouri, and Auburn at South Carolina, will get you all of the spreads. We'll give you our picks against the spread, our picks to win the games. We'll go through our players of the week and everything from this past week, and also preview some of the guys that we think are going to have big games this upcoming week. But TK, before we sign off here, just kind of let everybody know, what were your biggest takeaways from week 11 before we kind of close the chapter on it and move on to week 12?
Man, just an exciting week. Obviously, the dogs on top, dogs are rolling. And then other than that, man, it's an exciting time to be a dog, one. And that's all.
Yeah, so you're just excited about Georgia winning and taking care of business. Stetson Bennett, I think, going wire to wire and playing probably his best game of the year when Georgia needed him to play the best game. I think that puts to bed the question of who Georgia's quarterback is going to be going forward, as it should, because Georgia does not have an offensive line that is going to hold up 100% on the pass pro. There's going to be leaks in it. They do a good job at times, but there's going to be leaks in it. And Stetson Bennett creates with his legs. He makes 3 or 4 plays every game with his legs that simply JT Daniels could not make. Is he going to miss a throw like he did to Brock Bowers that was wide open down the sideline where he could have had a touchdown pass? Yeah, he's probably going to miss 1 or 2 a game, but he's not throwing picks that are going to take back the other way and things like that. Kirby Smart, trust him much like he does Dan Jackson in the back end at safety. So I think that was a big takeaway from me. And then TK, another big takeaway for me is that I just love the heart and tenacity of that Arkansas team. Looking forward to previewing that matchup as they go to Tuscaloosa. So as I said, this has been the Second to None podcast for Tavares King. I am Blaine Gilmer. Make sure to hit that subscribe button. Give us a like. Turn on notifications. We really, really appreciate it. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. We are presented by Bet Online, and we will catch you for an episode that'll drop probably either on Wednesday or Thursday. So follow us on Twitter, SEC2_none, and we will catch you guys later in the week.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.